So what we're doing now is some related issues just come up in this again. One of which is the Rambam has a Havamina and the Perish Mishnah, I'm sorry, the Sefer Mitzvah says a Havamina that this mitzvah would not apply to Bali Mormon. Right? Wouldn't apply to Bali Mormon because they don't do Avodah. Mashmalan, I forgot the Limur, but there's some Limur which just says it's the entire Zera Aaron or whatever, the entire Sheva. So that even whether you're Baal Mom or Talmud, it applies to everybody. It doesn't matter if you're Talmud or Baal Mom. It applies to everybody. So the question is, what's the Sfarah for that Amin on Kama? Paul. Okay, so I think that, yeah, so I'm saying it's similar to what Shmuel's saying here, is that the Havamina is very good. Because the whole thing is Ketzachol and Ketzachol Makrav. Kidashav Ketzachol and Ketzachol Makrav. The whole idea is Ram is trying to raise the Hachino, the carbon. The carbon becomes esteemed in our people's lives through the fact that the people who are doing the carbon are the aristocracy. So if a guy's a Baal Mom, the Baal Mom doesn't bring a carbon. So what's the big idea? Why are you giving him carbon? There's no shaitan to carbon altogether. He doesn't bring the carbon. He's a Baal Mom. All of them don't bring carbon. So, Kamash Malon, the Lima teaches you, no. It applies to all of them. The Zera, Kulo, here's a quote, I don't know the quote, but. So, basically, the entire Zera of, I don't know, the quantum and the minimum and the volume. The idea is, maybe, that based on what we said yesterday, is that the mitzvah is that you're creating an aristocracy. The mitzvah is to render them an elite class. Kedashta, the societally, Kadoshi Allah, that vis-a-vis to you, there's a societal elite which is created, and that elite is applies to the Shevet, to the group of the Kahuna, of the Kahana. So an elite doesn't single out like an individual, it's a class. And just to take one individual in a family or in a whatever, because he has a mum, doesn't have a mum, and single him out, that's not, the Zera, the elite is on the Zera Aram. And he is a Kohen, and he has the status of a Kohen, and he is their Aaron, and that's the way the elite works. So it's true, it's in service of the Lach Yasahal Kehul Makru, but the vehicle of doing that is that you take the Kohuna, the Zera Aaron, and you make him an elite. So in terms of that, he's fully the Zera Aaron, so it's almost like the Tamadavar is the Avod, you know, to be Mashav Avod or whatever. But the halachic structure is that it's Topaz, the unit of the Zera Aaron have a din of Kedashta. Now it's true, the Balmu has a separated post cell from doing Avoda, but he's still part of the Zera Aaron, and therefore he's part of the elite. The soul of Balmu doesn't extend the din of Kedashta. Kedashta is just a dope, the entity as a whole. And that's kind of the way aristocracy or an elite works. It's a group. It's a group. It's still is a group as a whole. Not just the ones who practically could do the avodah. Oz. Okay, the next issue I want to take up is a question about nowadays. The question of whether or not you do this mitzvah nowadays. Okay? So, because again, I thought it was asking to the Rebbe, he said, Ramosha wasn't knowing to give like a Zeman to a kind. And all the yeshivas in general did not do it. And it's a modern thing. Recently, people started doing it. People started doing the Kohen, you know, the Kohen, you know. Aliyahs you always had. But he says that this idea I didn't have. So he said, why not? He said, because he held they weren't Yuchas. Which means, if you, so their question was, okay, so why do you do anything? Why do you, there's a Mary Busha, and there's, you know, there's a din of Pishon HaBen, we do with them, we make a Brachon Pishon HaBen with Tama Kohen. So what's the deal? So, we looked into it a little bit. So it turns out that there's, if you look at this, really it's in the Surah B on the Rambam, Parakhah, talks about the idea that he says all Kohanim nowadays are Mukhsar to be a Kohen. Which means there's a Chazaka that they're Kohanim. I mean, we don't have to look. Are they really, really, really Kohanim? We don't really, really, really know. But it's all Zaka. chazaka. And that works for most things. For all kachor, all dinamanas kuna bikulan, or things which are darabanon, it works. But when it comes to real kedusha, like a truma or karbanos, or you know, challah which has kedusha, the oraisa, if you have kedusha, then you need to come in with miyuchas. Miyuchas means he has ichas. He has a lineage is traced back to someone who did avodah on the mizrach. Okay, you know, you have etos or whatever. He's the son of the son of the son, and you can trace him back to the mizrach. Okay, and the kasha type of life. They didn't have any halals or whatever. So, I mean, basically, we don't have that. I mean, I'm pretty sure we don't have that. Maybe the rapports do, I don't know. But essentially, we don't have it. So those certain halachos don't apply. So, it seems that the claim is that I'm going to say this openly in the Rambam, or at least, I don't know, unless you read into it, but that's the case, that it's only going to be Yuchas. But the question is, could we explain that? I mean, that's what's the name is, Ba'er Hetev, and Kuf Chav Chas, and Gimel it is?
Pei Gimel.
He brings down at the end of it, he brings down as the Magen Avraham, I think, or a bunch of sheep as well, that it doesn't apply nowadays because it's not Yuchas. Right? Brings out a bunch of Rachmanim well now. So, question is, what's the Sfarah to say that? Why should it be? I mean, if we do Pidgin Aben, they're not like Mary Grusha, and we give them the Kalim, Kohen, or whatever, so what's the Sfarah to say that this Mikidash, though, doesn't apply unless it's Yuma? Pause. So, it's, I'm thinking about an example, which I don't know if it's an exact example, but it brings home the point a little bit. This is that, let's say you have tzitzis, a pair of tzitzis. So a pair of tzitzis, so there's a minhag to check your tzitzis before you put make a bracha on them. Check to make sure that they didn't rip, right? Yeah, people do that, you've seen that sometimes? People check to make sure that tzitzis are complete. There's not strings or whatever. Before you make a bracha. Now, make sure then you don't really have to do that because there's a chazaka that they're still good. They have a good life, and it's probably good now. But the minhag comes out. I think it's from the Rosh, which is that he says it's like a midas chasidus or something. That when a person says Shem Hashem, they can say a bracha on their tzitzis. It says Shem Hashem, if in fact they're not really kosher, then you're going to be saying Shem Shemayim Elatam. So if you're not making a bracha, then you could just rely on the chazaka. And even though it's also to put on tzitzis that are ripped, that you don't have four corners, you know, that they don't have tzitzis on them, they'll be violating the mitzvah. But that's one thing. You have a right to rely on the chazaka that they're attached. But when it comes to saying Shem Hashem, so like I think that the Rosh says something like people who are Yorei Es Hashem or something like that. Yorei Es Hashem, they're going to make sure, be certain before they say Shem Hashem. Which means I think that there's like the technical halachic system in terms of the mitzvah. You have a right to rely on the chazaka, and the chazaka says, look, halachically, this is the kasha. But in fact, if it turns out that they're not kosher, then you're saying, in point of fact, then you're saying, well, it's all. So it's easy to check. So the thing is, look, I don't clear to, but it's as easy as it really gets to do. I don't know if you do this. I don't know if you have to, but there is a minute. You following me so far or no?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of a similar thing here. It's not exactly the same thing, but there's like this. There's a cheskas kohen, which means there's such a thing as a guy that does a chazaka, a halachic assumption of chazaka, right to assume halachically he has a kohen. Father was a kohen, whatever. Do we know for sure? Do we trace him back to the step-by-step lineage? No, we don't know that. But there's an assumption. There's all of the assumption. Not a lot of Mary Grusha. He gives like mitzvah, the Masana, the Masuna. And we have to read the Jirabin of them. It's a, look at this, a mitzvah we have there as a Chazaka. They're coming. And all of the they are coming. We treat them like they're coming. But vis-a-vis Avoda, and perhaps certain other things, so we need someone, I'm not sure why, maybe it's the Chumrah of Mikdash and Avodah of Hashem, whatever it is. But it's all like you see, it's not who does Avodah, it's like a type of Mita, or a Mita Tesh Naim, I think. So our great few months. So vis-a-vis Avodah, there's a Chumrah that you demand more than a Chazak. But it has to really be verified. Really be verified. Not enough just to rely on a guy's testimony that, or someone's testimony that his father got nothing. You gotta really know. You have to have a clear chain back to the Mizbeach. And then the Mizbeach, we know that there's an assumption. Once you get to Mizbeach, they, with the assumption of Mizbeach, they never let anyone do a vote on the Den unless they check 100%. So, but it's, I guess that's nowadays. But the point is that for a vote, it has to be, we have to be sure. It has to be certain. We demand the higher level. It's not enough just to have a halakhic chaloshim going, but we need the actual, factual reality of things going. You can't rely on halakhic assumptions. You have to know for sure. But other areas don't demand that. They don't demand the 100%. They just demand the halakhic chaloshim going. And there are sugyas about, hey, create the halakhic chaloshim going. Doesn't mean anything goes. Doesn't mean anyone can just claim it's going. But you have to really know. You know, regular areas, it's enough to have a chazaka. The sugya is what creates a chazaka. And now it says, all kohanim have a chazaka kohanim. But are any of them definitely kohanim? We don't know that. We don't know that. We don't know if, whatever, 3 to 4 generations ago, one of their ancestors became a halal, whatever. Violated the Zaguna, and they are married a Grusha, and whatever. We don't know. So that's why I vote on. Pause it for a second. So that's why I vote on. Now the thing is like this, is that it would seem that this halakha of the Kiddashto, and there's going to be a problem with this, but I'm going to say it anyways, and then deal with the problem. But the Kiddash, though, is the Kiddash Lachal Maka. The Kiddash, though, is tied to Avoda. It's tied to those people who are Baruchis of Avoda. And since the Kohan nowadays are not Kohan and Yuchat, and they're not really Shaykh to Avoda. They say Mashiach comes, we'll have to be Miachis, everybody. Have to really set up, whatever. Gilson, chase it back. However it works. That's the problem. But nowadays, essentially, no Kohanim are Roy for Avoda. So as a class, there's no Shaykhlis to Kiesa Holokath Holomaka. Kiddashta Kiesa Holokath Holomaka. Because they're not Shaykh, the Holokath. So they can't do Avoda. And if they're not there intrinsically removed from Avoda, then they're removed from the Kiddashto also. So you'll ask me, what about a Baal Mum? Like, that's the problem. Why are they different than a Baal Mum? Didn't we just get through the first part today saying that the Baal Mum is shaykh to the Kiddashto because Kiddashto is not halakhically tied in with him being Roy for Avodah, but it just still faces Aaron. Right? Just always Aaron. But I think the answer is, there's a difference. See, so by the Baal Mum, he's definitely part of Aaron. Definitely part of the Aaron. And the only thing is, he in particular, as a Yachid, has a problem. The class class was Kohanim, back in the time of Mikdash. So his family, the whole class, they're all really Kohanim. They're Aaron, the Kiddushto. So it doesn't, not every Yachid has to have that quality. It's simply part of the family. And the idea, the way the elite class works is through the group. And there's a group of the Kohanim, and he's part of the group. He just happens to have a deformity, so he can't still go on the Mikdash. He can't do that one. But the mitzvah of Ikedash still applies, and it applies to the whole class, and the class was, he's the one yach, he's swept along with the rest of the group. And we don't single out, the nature of the class of Ikedash Yalach doesn't single out individuals, it goes by the unit, and he's part of that group. But nowadays, our Kohanim as a group are not Miuchas. They're only Vecheskes Kohanim. And we don't know for sure that there's Erav. That they're really part of this Mikdash. So all together, they're part of Lacham HaKachal Maka. So the whole thing itself is really, we don't really know that they're Lacham HaKachal Maka, and there's the whole class is because of Lacham HaKachal Maka, because they're the group of Lacham HaKachal. Not so much because nowadays they're not based on Mikdash. Because look, we can have a base of Mikdash at any time. We don't wait until you have a base of Mikdash to do this. But the point is that you don't, that even if you have a base of Mikdash, they're not right. These guys may all turn out to be not really Kohanim. There is no group of Kohanim Aruim Lavoda. So the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. The whole mitzvah is to take the group of Zohar Lavoda and Mimasha them. Take the group, it's a class. Now it doesn't mean every individual in the class has to be, because it applies to the class and it doesn't single out each individual. But here we're not even sure if they're part of that class. I'm not even sure that there's an Aram. So therefore, the mitzvah simply doesn't apply to that. You don't have the, you know, they're not the barachis of the mitzvah. They're not established as their aram. And and they wouldn't be able to do that avod. Unless there would be some intervention of proving their yichus. But currently, maybe the yichus would have knocked out half the guys. Pause. Yeah, so we're asking, so why don't you, so then if that's the case, then nowadays you don't have a Kiddush because of that, so then why do you still do Kohen Levi Yisrael? So I think it's good because, like Shmuel says, there's four reasons in the Gemara. Right? And maybe you could argue that the fourth one doesn't exist, you could say, but, you know, maybe the third one, maybe you could argue, I don't know, but. I mean, for instance, the first one is this idea that the Kohanim are chosen to be the ones who teach Torah. That doesn't demand that you're a Miuchas. Miuchas is a separate chumrah that needs to be about that thing, you know? But the basic idea of the Shevet and Tuna, I mean, the Kohanim, you could even argue the third one, because I don't know, I'm not sure, but the idea is the other reasons to apply. This is specifically the mitzvah, we're talking about the mitzvah of, Mikdash gets the whole Gechel Marker, which is directly tied in with them being doing the Avodah and the Mikdash, and they're all, you know, that they're that group. That doesn't apply, but there's other reasons. There's other reasons, so it works out. It's good that there's, it's good. If it was Machlokas, then maybe you'd have a problem. But we all do Kiddush, so we don't like those. But if we're learning right, that it's not really Machlokas, they're just different ideas. So there's a lot of reasons there. And not only one reason. There's other reasons to apply also. Positive. Yeah, I mean, this is just as far to say that Vigdasha doesn't apply unless you're telling Yuchas. So I don't know if everyone holds that way. I mean, I didn't look at it. I mean, it's hard to, it's only brought down in the Achron. I didn't really see this question come up altogether in Mishnah. So, but I think the Achron is a Mavokas. I don't think it's like clear cut. I don't know. But I'm assuming, look, because you could argue that Vigdasha applies. Well, come on, I'm even a Chazkas going. I can't tell you how much. You say, look, it applies to the entire group. It's just going. It's true. The Kohanim are not like that. But that's just like the Talmud of Rabbah. Halachically, it has nothing to do with the group or whatever. It's independent. It applies to Baal Mom. It applies to Baal Mom. I'm being mechalic between the Baal Mom and the Kohen is not mutual. But you could say, well, there's no chiluk. You could say, halachically, it applies to anyone of the same Kohen. It actually applies to the Kohen. Why? Because they're Mukhan Lavod or whatever, but it's basically given the name of Shem Kohen, there's a Kiddushka. And then there's a point nowadays. So, I mean, I was just explaining the difficult position which seems to do with me, where Moshe and Yisrael said people never used them. But I don't know if he's saying is not to do it. He's just saying that, you know, I'm not Machriya that way. I'm just saying that's mitzvah is it's a little complicated here, so I don't know how fully on the end of this, but this is about it, that he brings up. And so Ramah says that you're not allowed to be a mishamesh with the kohen nowadays. I guess he's learning there is a kiddush though nowadays. He says you're not allowed to use the kohen, like as your servant or something nowadays. Do work for you. Unless he's Malcolm. Unless he's Malcolm. Because it lacks the kiddush though. So it is brought down, I think the Taz argues in my focus is whether you can be Malcolm altogether. It's not so clear to me, like the Ram says in the first one, he can't be Mokhal again. Alright? So the question is, so it comes out these different questions. I mean, the Gemara, always the Gemara, I think it's Shamanir Bali, says you can't be Mokhal. For instance, let's say a Kohen wants to get marry a Grusha. I'd say, nah, don't worry about the Gdash, I'm Mokhal. That he definitely can't do. I mean, it's not up to him to be Gdash, if she is Gdash. But the question is, that's like an objective chilul of the Kohanah. And he has to be Kadosh, he's not right, he's not Chal Kohanah. But the question is, what about the Vikidash though? What about like something like that? Like could he have a, presumably if you have a Kohen working for yourself, you could say it lacks in him being the elite. But let's say he wants to. Let's say he says, I'd like to do it. So the question is, too, is not focused whether he's allowed to do that or not. So why is it that you could be mochel the aliyah? Why don't you say, look, go ahead, you have to go first? Or let's say Zima. Why you say, listen, forget the aliyah, let's say Zima. Why are you mochel Zima? Why say, look, he's a Kohen, 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 pause.
Yes, sir, I think I'm saying that is that the cover
is, I'm just going to say it, is that he has a chutz of Kedima. It doesn't mean the kavod is that he has to go first. We're going to force him to have first and force him to take the bigger piece. The kavod is that he gets first crack. That's the kavod, that he has a zechus of priority. It's a zechus. It doesn't mean you have to do the maisa of him going first. It's not the maisa. It's the fact that you give him as a gavri, he has a right. He has a right and a privilege. But, I mean, to force him to do it, it almost like that lacks in the zechus. I mean, it's not, we're not forcing him. The nature of an elite is that he gets the first, he gets rights. But we don't force an elite to do anything, and that's not the way it works. We don't force him to do it. It's a right, and that's a privilege. But if he says, listen, no, I don't really want it today, then fine. I'm not going to force it on him. That's what I'm lacking, the kavod and the elite status. The elite status is that you give him the first crack, he gets to decide. He wants to be mochel, let him be mochel. But that's with regard to certain things. But, like, for instance, he can't say, listen, I have a right to be an elite, so I'm going to say I don't want to use that right, and I'm going to marry a Grusha. Because, I mean, that's already not, that's not in the social thing. But even if it were, I mean, that's an objective reach in the thing, and it's that. And that's what I'd say is the slide who says that he can't be mochel about shimush, is that Shemosh is a maisa of, like, degrading him, of subordinating him to the Yisrael. That, he can't be mochel. He could say, I don't want first crack. Because it's not an idea. Now that he show benches, it's not like that to be tayon to him. And it's just saying, look, you have a right to take it if you want to. You don't want to, don't. But the maisa of Shemosh, you could argue, is like a stira to his status as being an elite. Because the shimush is subordination. You're making him subordinate to your soul. What kind of elite is that? So you say that, I'd say you could argue that's not shy to being mochel. That's not shy to being mochel. Pause it. There's a question, I think, whether a kohen can be shamash or not a kohen. He talks about that as a question. So I think the question there is that is the shimush, is the problem of shimush, is that an objective, an absolute problem, or a relative problem? What's the problem? If you say there's a problem being mishanah to the Kohen, is it that a Maisa Shemosh is designed to a Kohen? So I don't care if you're doing it for a Kohen or for Yisrael, is a Maisa Shemosh itself is designed on this, like a lowly Maisa. It's not appropriate for a Kohen to do that. Or do you say the problem in Shemosh is a relative idea that you're subordinating it to Yisrael? So if it's another Kohen, then that's fine. That's fine, it's not a problem. The problem is only where it's the relative idea, because you're supposed to be the elite, and you know, square is the elite to the, you know. But the other, so you could argue it's an objective thing. I don't care if it's in front of the coin, the job itself is a desire.
Right.
Okay, you could pause it. That's because the Shmuz saying good is, you say the question is, what's the degradation? Is it the action of Shemush itself which is the degradation? So then, then you can't be mocha. Would you say that it's like the subordination, the forcing him to do it? Shemush is like there's an idea of force in Shemush. And that's, it's not the action itself that he's doing, but it's the shlita, the rule, the reign and rulership over him, which is the problem. But if he decides to do it, and he wants to, for whatever reason he wants to, he's mochel, he says, I don't care, so then you're not being shlita over him, that's his choice. So is the problem, is that, was in Shemush, right? Is Shemush is the maisa of Shemush itself to be Zion, or is it's the relative, the force, and the shlita, which emerges from the thing, which is degradation. But so far as it's under the context of, you know, of mechila, that's not that problem. There's one last thing, is that there's a tosis there. If you look on the slide there, on the top, on the top of Amadeus, and he says that this whole thing applies of Ikizashto is vis-a-vis giving him Maiser Ani and Maiser Sheni and other things like that. But it doesn't apply in like a partnership. You have a partnership and now you want to split out the profits or whatever. He says you don't say Ikizashto and you give the coin first cry. Because he quotes a Gemara there. And maybe you could read that Gemara that he quotes. Do you see those doses? Okay, fine, yeah. So it says, from the beginning, nothing he records now?
Starting from when I read it.
Okay, fine. Okay, so you turn it on. So it says, the Tosus there says that this whole thing doesn't apply to Mil Nishatos, because the Gemara and Tosachem, that a no sin ain't no chelik yafa in a rosh of Bahal. You have a partnership, and if you place your eye in it, and the yafa doesn't, and the chelik in a bigger portion, then you won't see it in the Bahal. So therefore, the, you don't have priorities at calling. There's Tosin Moikotan whose questions, maybe here it's because it's not a Sineno, it's because it's the Kohen, and therefore it's okay. Or if the Israel gives it to him, but not the Kohen chooses, maybe it's okay. But this Tosin says no, it doesn't apply altogether. You don't have any priority of Kohen if it's splitting profits or whatever. So I just want to explain that idea of no Sineno, Chele Kefa, and no Sineno, Chele Kefa. What kind of thing is that, no Sineno, Bracha? You know? So, as thinking is an idea, just one thought, is that in a partnership, it's a business idea. It's an idea or a psychology idea. And what makes a partnership work is that they're equal partners. Or fair, I don't know, equal, and let's say it's a 50-50 partnership, or whatever the arrangement is. What makes the thing is that the way a business works is that everyone feels that they're getting their fair share and they're in it together. And that's how a business succeeds. Once you start setting it up that I get the bigger portion, or that I am getting more than you, more than I fairly deserve. The Kohen, they're partners, they fairly deserve the same amount, but the Kohen gets a little extra. That's not good for a partnership. It's not, you know, this is Rachel Olam. I mean, it's not going to work out. It's in the long, you may want to squeeze the other partner for an extra buck. We got the co-owners in general. You may want, it's human nature, to try to get a little extra. But in a partnership, if you put your eye in that thing, even if you're eyeing it, it's going to defeat you. Because if you're not happy, if the partner, one guy is unhappy, if these businesses or whatever, the way these things work is that this partnership and everyone puts in their proper effort and everyone's fair about it and honest about it. And once you start feeling that you're being gypped, then you're not going to be putting in your proper, your all, and it's not going to work out. It's like if you're running a business, you got to pay everybody what they want. And if you try to cheat people out of their salary, then they're going to cheat you out of their work, and that's not the way business works. If a person's not happy and he feels like he's being gypped, then it's saying, oh, it's in Brussels all along. How? I don't know. What's he going to do? Is he going to cheat me? I don't know. These things are, businesses are subtle, and if these things to work out, you really have to have everybody's heart into it in a way that they feel like they're getting a fair shake. So even though, and that's I think what Tosin is specific about, these different Tosin, is that what about if it's not because it's a business idea that this guy's trying to jip me, but it's because it's the cover of the kahuna and he's an elite? Will that undermine the business also? Or do you say that since it's an objective thing, Torah, God, then it's okay? That seems to be the machlokes in the different doses. Does that mitigate that problem? If it's because of an object, not because of not because of his own thing, because of an objective factor. Or even if you say it's okay, it depends. Let's say the Yisrael is initiating it because of the Kohen. Then there's another thing I want to say. Look, if the Kohen does it himself, that would be a problem. But if the Yisrael is giving it to him, so then you say that's okay. It's like a question in the psychology of this thing. Does it mitigate it whether it's because of the objective thing of Kohen, and also does it mitigate it because it's initiated by the Yisrael? I didn't go further than that, but I think that's just like the idea that you can't apply in a way where it's going to destroy the dynamic. Let's say there's a partnership 60-40. Okay, fine, but now which 60 am I going to get and which 40 are you going to get? Or let's say there are some sort of goods and not just dollar bills. So how are we going to split those 60-40? So now you'll say, let the Kohen choose his 40 first or his 60 first. And the 60-40 is just the way the partnership is arranged. 60-40, I mean, that's what's equitable, that's what's fair. I'm doing 60% of the work, you're doing 40% of the work. But that's fine. It's not saying every partnership has to be 50-50. Every partnership has to be arranged according to the terms of the deal and what makes sense and what's fair. But given that you have that, now you want to split it. Now, who's going to choose who gets what? So the way normally you do it, if you're splitting a piece of meat, you say, split the piece of meat in half and the coin picks whichever party he wants. So let's say the partnership, it says you don't do that. You don't do it that way when it comes to a partnership. In a business, you don't say 60-40, let's split it and now the coin picks his 40 or his 60. Because that type of thinking undermines the business. Undermine surplus. That's not the way that you can't bring in elites when it comes to a business. It's not going to lead to some bracha. It's going to cause the business to fail. It's not the way. And you're dealing nicer on me and you're splitting it up and you're giving the Cohen. You say, Cohen, you get to choose your portion first. That's fine because you're not dealing with the dynamic of a shutbus. But the dynamic of a shutbus is you can't play like the favorites or the elites. And I'm the main guy, so I get to just, not to get first dibs. This doesn't work out.